More Idaho Matters now from the studios of Boise State Public Radio News. I'm Gemma Gaudette. The Ada County Highway District is responsible for more than 5,300 lane miles of road, and that does include most of Boise's roadways. And with only 43 snowplows, ACHD has been working 12-hour shifts trying to plow and treat the roads during the recent heavy snowstorms we've had. But with all of this recent snow, crews have at times found that plowing all of those main roads and then more than 4,000 cul-de-sacs and 3,000 miles of residential roads, a bit daunting, as you can imagine. So how does ACHD plan for a big snowfall? Can they pre-treat roadways in advance? And who gets plowed first when the snow is coming down? These are questions people have been asking since the snow started falling. So here to provide some of those answers is Jennifer Berenger. She is Deputy Director of Maintenance with ACHD. Jennifer, thanks so much for coming on the show, in particular in the midst of one of your busiest times of the year.
Well, thanks for having me, Jim.
Okay, so let's go back to when you get a weather forecast on Sunday that snow is on the way for Wednesday. So what is the first step for ACHD in preparing for a snow event?
So usually when we're preparing for a storm event, we're in our normal operations and we have an on-call supervisor who drives around every night starting around midnight to assess the weather conditions and the road conditions. And from there, they usually bring in the crews to start working on the roadways. With this particular storm, we've already been in 24-hour operations because we've had multiple systems coming through in short term. So having our crews in 24-hour operations, this newest system that's rolling through, we were very ready for, already on call, already moving through the community. With this current storm, since we had been in residentials to start with, we pulled people, all of our operators, out of the residentials to focus again on the arterials and collectors. And that kind of speaks to our priority system. Our priority one, anytime snow falls, is that we're going to hit our arterials and collectors. Those are the main roadways that get people north, south, east, west, along with major intersections, overpasses and bridges, hospitals, fire stations, railroad crossings, school crossings, and then the streets that we have grades of over 6%. We've got a lot of hilly areas. So that's our primary priority. And then as we get those stabilized, we move into the second priority, which are school buses and vulnerable populations. And then we roll into the priority threes, which are the residentials. And that's really what's been very different about this series of storms, because usually we don't have the luxury of getting into the residentials before the sun melts everything off.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what can you use on the snow and ice, or what do you use? Because there's salt, there's sand, there's magnesium chloride. So how do you decide which one to use?
With a regular storm, if it's just going to be coming in as a dry snow, so not preceded by rain or anything like that, usually we can get out and pre-treat the roads with a liquid magnesium chloride. And what that's going to do is help to prevent the bond of the ice to the asphalt. So as the on-call supervisor is driving around, calling people in, usually that magnesium chloride is our first line of defense. Once the snow starts to fall, and if ice does start to bond, then we switch to another tool in our toolbox. And that's when you'll start seeing granular salt come out, and then sand to assist with traction around those intersections. And then that helps to break through any ice that's formed. And then, of course, the plows on the front of our equipment will push that snow and ice off of the roadway so that you start seeing more of the bare pavement conditions. But in this case, for this week, we've got an interesting weather pattern where it's very, very cold. So magnesium chloride is really only effective at about 16 degrees Fahrenheit and above. So once we get into these single digit temperature days, that magnesium chloride isn't as effective. So it puts more responsibility on the plowing and the salt and the sand to really help with the traction, because we can't necessarily do the pre-treatment beforehand because of the temperatures.
So I want to go back to these priority levels that you mentioned, priority one, priority two, priority three. Because I think a lot of folks are confused about this, right? It's almost like you wake up and you expect that your street in front of your house should be plowed. And it doesn't work that way. So with that said, are there maps or do you have something where folks can look at to know maybe where they land in this priority zone?
We have maps that we use internally, and we're working toward having public-facing maps. We're not quite there yet, but we've been working with several vendors to make that a reality in the future. But with our zones that we build, so you mentioned earlier our 43 plows, we have 67 total units, 43 of them equipped with plows. So we do have a handful of other pieces of equipment that we employ. With the 43 plows, we have the entire county broken out into winter maintenance routes. So a driver for an AM shift and then a PM shift, two different drivers, will be in the same piece of equipment, and they know what their route is. So they're making their way up and across and then back down and over through the route maps that we've built to hit all of those priority ones. And it usually takes maybe an hour, hour and a half to make one single pass through. And then if there are multiple lanes, it's going to take that many more laps through to make the road clear. So usually for that entire route, it could take about 4 hours to make the pass. So as people are looking out, they might not see a plow working, but they're getting through, they're getting material put down, material giving time to work, and they're making several passes through. So the residential being on that lower priority, most of the time the storms that we see, we're going to be focused on our priority ones, and then we'll roll into the other priorities. But usually Mother Nature helps us out with that as well.
Well, and Jennifer, how important is it for people to understand what kind of road they live on? And what I mean by this is, I'll take where I live. For example, I live in the city of Boise. I live close to downtown. With that said, our road is never plowed by ACHD. It is because of the type of road that we live on. So you do not plow our road. Now you plow the road two blocks ahead of us, but I think there's a misunderstanding sometimes, or that folks don't realize that some residential roads don't get plowed.
In a normal storm event, that's true. Yeah, we just don't have the resources and the time to get to them before Mother Nature kind of takes over. So putting the focus on the arterials and collectors, kind of the places where we know that the bulk of the traffic usually goes to get north and south and east and west. And that way we can focus on those areas with the most congestion or the most traveled roads. So we're getting a lot of bang for our buck of sorts, you know, that the taxpayers are using some of these main roadways to get to where they need to go. And then as those get stabilized, we can start working on the other ones. But yeah, depending on the street you're on, we do have a lot of people up in the hills who do get kind of that priority one treatment because they're on a slope of 6% or more. And we know that if we don't get up there on the first ends of the storm, there will be people sliding down hills. So we need to treat the roads, the right amount of material at the right time in the right locations. And that's what kind of built our priority system.
So I also want to talk about some other roads, and these are roads like Broadway Avenue in Boise, Eagle Road, even State Street, because I think there's some confusion around this. Broadway, for example, Eagle Road, for example, if they were plowed, they sure didn't seem like it. With that said, these are technically highways, which means they do not fall under your management. They are under the management of the Idaho Transportation Department. And I think this is just confusing for everyone because these are roadways that are so busy, yet really were not managed well, according to a lot of folks who were driving on them during these storms.
Yeah, there is a lot of confusion with those. And you hit it right on the head, Gemma. If it's a state highway or a U.S. highway, it falls under the jurisdiction of ITD. And, you know, we do have a lot of streets that we know by other names. We know them by Eagle or Chinden or State Street. We do have a cooperative agreement with ITD in some cases to assist with some of the surface treatments for winter maintenance. So we all kind of work together, and it is a cooperation. It's a full team effort. And I know ITD has had their resources out. It's just another one of those. It just takes a lot of time and a lot of passes to get through. And sometimes on those really heavily traveled roads, all the traffic can kind of make a difference in how that looks as well.
So let's talk a little bit more about these residential roads, because I know that when you switch to plowing these streets, a lot of times, I mean, let's take the north end of Boise, for example, a lot of street parking on those streets. So what happens then when the plows are coming down? Do you need to get your car out of the way? If you don't, is it going to be buried in snow? Because I'm assuming, you know, they don't have keys to your car. They can't hop out and move it for you.
Yeah. So we've been trying to get the word out as early as possible that we were going to be getting into the residential areas. And if you had the opportunity to move your car off of the street to do so. And I know in some areas like the North End, it is a challenge because there isn't a lot of off street parking for the cars to go. So I do recognize all this snow is an inconvenience. So one of the things that we've asked our operators to do as they're moving through those areas, and this is another reason why a lot of residentials don't look like they were plowed, is because when we're in the residential areas, we're trying not to dig all the way down to bare pavement. So if we can just leave a good layer of snow, we're not pushing as much snow off to the sides because all that snow has to go somewhere. So if we can keep some of it on the surface street, then we're not making as much of an impact off on the sides where maybe driveways are or cars are parked. That's one of the things we've been very sensitive to and trying not to impede all of that other stuff. But by getting through and kind of leveling out that rutting, it's going to make for a safer drive. So while you might not see bare pavement, it's definitely going to be safer because you don't have the snow grabbing your wheel as you're driving through. So that's just one of the concessions we've been able to make just to keep the city moving with all the snow that we've had.
So Jennifer, before I wrap things up with you, I know, I mean, ACHD gets a lot of criticism. You get it, you know, every year you get it with when you're fixing the roads in the summer, when there's snow in the winter. But with that said, I mean, Ada County has grown exponentially over the last two decades, which means there are more roads. Your budget necessarily hasn't grown to that amount. So what do you want folks to know in regards to the fact that, you know, you are trying to keep up with all of this, but it feels like sometimes maybe your hands are tied?
We have been growing with the growth of Ada County. One of the things that we're in the midst of is building a couple of new maintenance yards to the east, one to the east and one to the west, so that our response times are going to be quicker. So that's one change that we're going to see over the next few years. As Ada County has grown, we are in the district growing as well. We do what we can with the materials and the tools we have. Where we find shortfalls, then we try to make the case to add more resources. But we are trying to be the best stewards of the taxpayer dollars. Where it makes sense to add, that's where we add. It doesn't necessarily make sense to expect a Snowmageddon level event every winter. So looking at the historical amount of snowfall we get and lane miles of roadways, which have just, again, just increased incredibly over the last decade, we try to forward plan as best we can without being over the top on what we need for resources. So we do what we can with what we have, and we have a lot of tools that are multi-use. So things that we use in the wintertime, we also use in the summer. The plows, for example, are just attachments on our dump trucks. We use the dump trucks throughout the year, and then we shift to use them in a plow configuration for the winter. So it's really finding the right tools that are going to be the best for the county and really trying to be the best stewards of taxpayer dollars with what we have.
Well, Jennifer, I really want to thank you for your time today. Appreciate it. We've been talking with Jennifer Barringer. She is head of maintenance with ACHD, talking about all of the nuances that go into keeping our roads safe and drivable during these winter storms. Jennifer, thanks for your time.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
This new year, LifeKit wants to help you succeed because everyone needs a little help being human.
It can seem so overwhelming. You're not alone.
Who can I commit to being?
If you want to do something, then just do it. Just take that first step.
Great advice every week. Listen to LifeKit from NPR.